Happy 2018. We've got the economic trends to watch this year. And if you need a New Year's resolution, how about using less business nonsense?
A bio break.
What's that?
Going to the bathroom.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. If you're just waking up or if you haven't slept yet, happy 2018. It's a great day to reflect where we've been and where we're going. I've been doing that with Mike Jakeman, a global analyst for the Economist Intelligence Unit. I asked him to pick three things to watch this year, starting with a country.
Saudi Arabia is about to go through fundamental change on a number of different levels. It may go through a royal succession this year. Even if it doesn't go through the process formally, the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman is very much the man in charge now. He's young, he's 32, and he's got a very different idea of how he wants Saudi to be run. He's conducting an anti-corruption crackdown, which most recently saw the arrest of lots of former ministers, and he has come out of that with his powers greatly enhanced. There's also going to be profound economic change. This is a country that obviously derives a huge amount of revenue and wealth from oil, but oil prices are not going to rise to anything like what we saw earlier this decade. He realizes this and he's embarking on a big diversification program that's going to also lead to selling off 5% of the state oil company.
Yeah, and big social change as a result of that. We've already seen women being able to drive. There have been rock concerts, rap concerts, movie theaters opening.
I think this is a case where once the genie is out of the bottle, it probably won't be possible to put it back in. This is a country well and truly opening it up. I don't know whether MBS himself will be around to see the whole thing through, but this is all comes together to make this a country that is on the move.
What about when it comes to companies? Which one do you think is going to go a big transformation or change?
A company to watch very closely is Amazon. A number of different reasons. For a start, it's bidding to open its second North American headquarters next year. There's been a huge race amongst different cities to try and tender for that. So it'll be interesting to see where they choose. It's moving into dominating every part of the retail landscape, and it will gradually hoover up these sectors in the next few years. And we've yet to see somebody come up with a business model that properly challenges Amazon.
We've been hearing so much about driverless cars, artificial intelligence. For you, what is the big innovation to watch?
There was a great story from the end of 2017 when Elon Musk was challenged to build a giant battery in the South Australia. He said that if I can't do it in 100 days, I'll do it for free. And he did it in 60, which is a great PR win for him. But this is really important because this is about, we have lots of ways in which we're able to generate electricity, but we're not able to store it very efficiently. And if you're able to store it efficiently, for countries like Australia, where there's a big difference between the amount of electricity that it needs at its peak in the summer when everybody's got their air conditioning on and then that it needs in the winter, then you can suddenly be a lot more responsive to the needs and a lot more energy efficient.
Global analyst Mike Jakeman. If you're still mulling over your New Year's resolution, how about a pledge to use less business? Well, let's just call it nonsense. Andre Spicer is a professor of organizational behavior at Cass Business School at the City University in London. He's written a book on the subject, and when I met him in London's business district, he gave me some common examples of business nonsense.
Globalization, Instagrammability, facilitation, engagement, peeling the onion, singing from the same hymn sheet, close of play, thought shower.
Thought shower, what's that?
Talking about your ideas. A bio break.
What's that?
Going to the bathroom, blue sky thinking.
Are some of these real? Bio break? Do people actually use that?
Yeah, it's frequently used and becoming very popular in Silicon Valley.
Why? I mean, why would people use such bizarre terms for something we all do every day and we all know what it is?
People love to fit in, so they want to use and speak the same language as their tribe who surround them, no matter how silly, idiotic, and pointless it is. Number two, it's a way of kind of making difficult, problematic issues vague, so you don't even have to deal with it.
What's the history behind this? I mean, what is it that's led to all of these ridiculous terms permeating our everyday work lives?
As the economy has moved into post-industrial capitalism, so that means that you produce services, not things. It means that you create a huge class of people whose jobs are very uncertain about what they actually do. So most of the time they sit there, they analyze things, they examine. And what they actually do is become polishers of PowerPoint shows rather than producers of products.
Biobreak is one that I think everybody will sort of go, well, that's just silly. But what are you looking for that says, hang on a second, you know, you're not talking straight here?
The first thing is it's vague. You don't quite know what it means. The second thing is it's slippery. There's no kind of underpinning facts and logic behind it. The third thing is it's long-winded. So when you listen to someone say things in 30 minutes, you come out of there thinking that could have been said in 3 minutes.
All right, so let's go back to some of your examples for a minute then. So I don't know, Instagrammability. I mean, what should you be using instead of that word?
It looks good. And it could be put on social media.
What about globalization? I mean, I thought that was a pretty legitimate word.
Why not just say international? We've got an office in one or two places.
Is it just a little inconvenience we all have to deal with, or are you saying that it actually hurts business?
If we look at the average American worker, they spend 45% of their time doing their actual job, 55% of their time doing other stuff, and a big part of this other stuff is basically dealing with this empty BS, sitting in meetings, reading strategy reports, attending cultural building sessions, etc. Now, I think if we cut down on that 55% and increase the 45% of actual work, our organizations would be far more pleasant, more meaningful, and more fulfilling, and more productive for everyone.
Andre Spicer. By the way, his most hated word is millennial because people attach it randomly to concepts. Think millennial pink. Finally, here's one resolution we'd love you to keep. Listen to us on the radio or on a podcast wherever you get yours. And I promise you won't miss a thing this year. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.